Hello and welcome to the Surviving Grady podcast. My name is Red. His name is Denton. And tonight we have a very, it's a somber affair. It's going to be a very quick one, mercifully. But we really just are asking ourselves one question here tonight in this podcast. Now, we know there are plenty of things in this world that suck. Osama bin Laden, well, he's not with us anymore, but he most definitely sucked. Motley Crue, I know, Denton's you're a big fan, but we have to be honest, they suck. The films
I'd put Rob Schneider in there.
The films of Rob Schneider, I think, definitely go in there. But unfortunately, I think we have to ask ourselves the question, do the 2011 Red Sox belong on that list? Do the 2011 Red Sox suck? Do they suck? They suck. They suck. Right now they suck. The question, I guess, is, are they going to, is this a temporary suck? Or are these guys a 500 team, and this team that we were predicting would be playing the Phillies in the World Series and would be having another rolling rally and leading us to victory against the aliens and basically everything else, really is just a really, really, really mediocre team. Is that the case? Do you think that's the case?
I don't think they suck. I think they hit a major suck bump in the road, but no, I don't think they suck. I think they have to play together. They haven't done it yet. When the pitching's good, timely hitting sucks. When everybody's hitting, Lackey's on the mound. So they just need to get all the gears clicking together, I think, and they'll be fine. I don't want to start dropping cliches, but the only saving grace here is that the Yankees should have a 10-game lead right now. Mercifully, they only have a 5-game lead, so...
That is actually pretty interesting. And as of now, the Tampa Bay Rays are actually in first place. So they are 22-15. This is a team that we basically considered them, or at least I did. Me and my uncle Fred just considered them peripheral.
He's out on parole again?
He is. He's out and he's back and better than ever. And we just sort of considered them peripheral to this whole thing. It was the Red Sox show. And perhaps the Yankees could have the wild card and the Rays would be basically sweeping up after the movie was over. But now here we are, under 500. Just getting to 500 will seem like winning the World Series at this stage, I think. It's just horrible to watch. It's a painful team to watch right now. And for the few good things that we have, Adrian Gonzalez is doing pretty much what we had hoped he would do. Is hitting, what's he hitting, like 320-something, 329, 327. He's got 7 home runs. It comes as advertised. Jed Lowry has been a great surprise. Scares the shit out of me, though. I've never seen a freakier-looking dude. When he smiles, he looks like the Joker. Ellsbury, of course, has been pretty solid in the leadoff spot. But I really just can't point to it. I don't know. It's as you say, the days they hit are the days that the pitching is for shit, and the days that they get some decent pitching are the days that, case in point, Beckett's last start, that things just don't quite, they got the win that night, but things just don't quite work out. It's been a frustrating season. I just don't know that it's ever going to change. I mean, they're going to just flip the switch at some point?
They're going to flip the switch to full ass-kicking mode soon. You know, here's a surprising thing. Kyle Crawford has an 11-game hit streak, yet he's only hitting .218. How does that happen? It mathematically doesn't even make sense.
You think Kevin Youkilis has ever had sex with a camel?
This week? Not many camels around.
He just strikes you as the kind of guy who, if there was nothing else better to do, he'd be like, well, I'll go fuck the camel for a while and I'll be back here. There's no HBO in the room, so.
He must sweat when he's in the shower. The guy is just... But here's what's going to save us. We're done playing the monsters that are Seattle and Minnesota when we get a nice gimme like the Yankees this weekend. It's the only team we've done well against. What do you point to? Francona's not making any different decisions than other than screwing around with the lineup, but I don't know. The other night was not the Lackey night. The night before that, they had 16 hits, and they can't win a game.
Yeah, that's but seeing Beckett, if someone hits, see that's what I find so frustrating is you look at where we are right now, and remember coming into this season. the question marks. Well, if Beckett can do this, if someone told you, hey, you know, a month and a half in, Beckett will have a 1.99 ERA. I mean, if someone told you that back in March, you'd be like, well, shit, we'll be up by 10 games at that point then. You know, I mean,
yeah, Beckett's having a good year. Lester is having a better, you know, first couple months than he usually has.
John Lackey's still rich. I mean,
yes, he still makes pay.
Buckholz
is doing okay. It's beyond explanation. Well, they got rid of a couple. You know, they got rid of Wheeler and they got rid of Jenks, or you know, put them with some fake injuries out to pasture. Hopefully.
I think that's when they just kind of call it. I think when you have a shitty game, this is how I think it happens. I think you have a shitty game, or you have a string of shitty games. I saw Jenks in that. I was at one of the games against Toronto at Fenway on a Friday night, where he just came in and it was basically like a dinner theater performance of Deliverance, and he was in the role of Ned Beatty. He more or less just came in and grabbed his ankles and said, you know, have at it, pilgrims, because I'm not going to do anything of value here. But I envision that when someone hits the skids and is having just a real shitty go of it, that they come back in and they just kind of see Mike Timlin standing there just sort of with a wrench in his hands, just kind of slowly tapping it, and they basically just know they're in for a savage beating, so they just kind of lay down and take it like a man, like he's just going to kind of give them a little Kerrigan special, you know, knock the kneecaps off or something like that, and that's going to be it for them. But
yeah, I had a different definition for the Kerrigan special, but we can't talk about that here.
We should probably clarify we're referencing Nancy Kerrigan, not Joe Kerrigan, I guess.
Oh, sorry.
Getting back to the subject of John Lackey, is that going to go down as the worst signing of the Theo regime? Is that
I called it the worst signing the day they signed the contract, because I never liked this guy.
How many more years? We got 2 more years, 3 more years of him?
Three more after this.
3 more years.
Fine season.
I wonder what year 4 is going to be like. Why, things
I'm
can
sure,
only
I'm
things
sure
can
once
only
he
get better.
A few years, he'll be much better. Yeah.
Time for a visit from Mike Timlin, I think. And I feel bad for the guy. Like you say, you don't want to boo these people. You know, you don't want to. You know, unless it's like when we had Rick Cerrone. I mean, you don't want to boo the people who are wearing your laundry out there. You don't want to do it. Sometimes you have to. As a fan, you have to sometimes.
It's for work. People boo me. Just flip them off and get on with your job.
It's the Arlie Ermy mentality. It's like, I have not motivated John Lackey because you have failed to motivate John Lackey. That's the code for give him the blanket party. Do what you got to do. Get this guy in the right frame of mind. So
I see a phantom injury coming in the next day or two, and he doesn't make a start for a couple weeks. All right, prediction. The next time we have a day off, I think it's 15 straight games without a day off, which brings us almost to the end of May. Where are we going to be at by the end of May?
I think we're going to be in first place.
First place, you say?
Yes. Yep, you can take that to the bank. Write it down. Write it down!
That's a bold statement you just made.
That's what someone... They were saying at my office, we had a big sales strategy meeting, and they say, well, here's what we got to do. You start off every meeting with a bold statement. When you've got the prospect right there, you make a bold statement, and you make good on that statement. So I said, well, here's a good bold statement. Tell me this wouldn't be effective. You get in the room, your prospects, people you're trying to impress, you say, hi, my name is Red, and I'm going to fuck you like a crazed hyena. I just think that would be brilliant. I mean, you would never get the business and very likely would be arrested and escorted out of the building, but they would never forget. Hey, remember that guy who came in and said he was going to fuck us all like a crazed hyena? I think that would be brilliant. No one liked the idea, though. In fact, they asked me to leave. All right, well, hoping that perhaps this weekend series against the Yankees is where things start to turn around. Maybe it will.
All right, what are your thoughts on the series, quick?
I think we're going to sweep them.
I'm taking 2 out of 3.
I think
we're
going
to sweep
them.
Lame, but
I think that, you know, it's so cliche now to say this is going to be the turning point. We're going to grab ourselves by the bootstraps and pull everything up, and this is where it happens. Oh, I like that voice. That's kind of a hillbilly soldier kind of thing. We're going to go out and do it. We're going to go and we're going to. This is where everything changes. It's going to change right here. Oh, I like that. I'm going to do an entire podcast in that voice because that won't be annoying at all.
No, that, I think you should.
This is
with
really going to be the season where it's kind of a Gilbert Gottfried sort of. This is the season where they're going to make things happen. Things are going to turn around. I just know it. Just sit and watch. Things are going to turn around. Oh fuck! I'm talking like this for the rest of my life.
I like the voice you did on one of the other podcasts. It sounded like the guy from Ferris Bueller when he was pretending to.
That was supposed to be Seinfeld, though, wasn't it?
Oh, sorry.
That was my Seinfeld.
That's it, Rooney. Yeah.
Rooney!
You know, if they did sweep the Yankees, they would also get to the 500 mark. So how sweet would that be?
I know, that would be when it would. I think I originally picked Saturday as the day they break, they hit 500. But yeah, they'd have to sweep them all now at this point. I like the sound of that though. That would be nice. They might as well. We stuck it to them so good in 2000.
All right, I'll tell you what. If they do it, party at your hearse.
My hearse.
What did I just... Who said that?
Said my horse. How... Jeez, that's the kind of thing, you know. Now we got to talk about something else. He can't end it on that note. That's a Freudian slip. That'll come true. Well, it's ironic that he died, and they were talking on the podcast, and they said, party at your hearse.
Don't put that on my head.
Don't jinx him. You know what is interesting is I was watching the... they had that 30 for 30, the ESPN special on again on 2004, and that's still... You hate to say this because you say it and it sounds like you're just absolutely pussying out for the rest of your days. But the fact is, if nothing good ever comes of any Boston Red Sox team, 2004 will basically carry me for the rest of my days. I will never forget that feeling of every night when they beat the Yankees, one of those games. You'd say those things. And Lenny Clark says the same thing in the little thing that him and Bill Simmons do to kind of... That kind of bookends the beginning and the end of it when he says, you know, you literally sat there every night and said, please, if they just win this one game, I won't ask for anything again.
Right.
I won't ask for anything, you know. I just don't get my receding hairline, my man tits. I don't give a shit. I just let them win another game. And you felt that way. And it was just an amazing feeling. And you kind of want to feel that again. I mean, it was nice.
But you know what? Could they do anything to make you feel that way again?
Now, you know, well, that's why I've always said 2007 is the redheaded stepchild. 2007 was a, you take out 2004, that was a great season, a great playoff. And I've always, you know, the J.D. Drew Grand Slam, I've always thought that was one of the most underrated moments in Red Sox history.
And now I know we've stayed on too long.
I know. You know, it all comes back to that. But
I mean, think about it. So they start out 0-6 this year, whatever happens, if what could they do to get to the World Series and win the World Series that you'd say that was better than 2004? I can't think of anything.
No, I can't. Well, because it was on because it all goes back to 2003. At the end of 2003, if the gods of baseball, and by gods of baseball, of course, I mean Peter Gammons, if they had come to you and they had said, listen, and this would be right after Game 7 of the 2003 ALCS, if they said, what can we do to make it better? The only possible thing you could say, with the exception of some horrific flying saucer crash that takes the life of Aaron Boone, the only thing you could have said was, I want to meet these motherfuckers in the ALCS again next year, but I want the Yankees to win the first three, and I want us to come back and beat them four straight, and I want to win that last one in Yankee Stadium, and I want Pedro on the mound for a couple of minutes of that game, too. I mean, it was the revenge fantasy that we had dreamed about since Aaron Boone went yard and ended that thing. That was the only way it would make us feel, and it actually happened. That's the sick fucking thing. It happened. I mean, it was, you know, you couldn't believe it. And that's another great thing that they bring up when Lenny Clark says, when they're showing the Yankees fans and how amazed they are that this thing was transpiring. It was unfolding before their eyes. And he just says, I looked at the fans in the Yankee Stadium. I said, hey, I know that look. You know, which is interesting. You know, you expected, you were programmed for failure. You figured it was going to end in tears. And the fact that they kept doing it and kept doing it under those horrific circumstances. And, you know, with 2003 still, 2003 hurt me more than 86. I mean, 2003 just, it almost killed me. But it was amazing to how the fuck did we get on the 2004 again?
We should just do every podcast about 2004.
I think we should. And, you know, depending on how this weekend series goes, we may want to switch to an all 2000, like a radio station, all easy listening, all 2004.
Yeah, it'd be a 2004 tribute season.
We'll do a whole month of Lascanic stories, and then we'll all Lascanic all the time. You remember when I do remember at one point when they were doing, I think it was after the ALCS when they showed all these, you know, the Reds, the players going nuts, and then showed some of the players' family members. One point, it showed Derek Lowe's father. It looked like a homeless guy. He was clearly in his cups. His eyes were spinning like roulette wheels. It just showed him, and I think he just yelled this unintelligible thing at the camera. hair askew and everything. I said, Derek Lowe's dad. Hey, dad. Shit-faced again. The Derek Lowe's father story. Anyway, all right, well, fuck. Now our five-minute diatribe on 2011 has turned into a 25-minute expose on the 2004. It all comes back to 2004.
Fans can't get enough of this.
It all comes back to 2004. All right, we promise next time. Next time we will mention 2000, and I promise never to mention the Drew's home run in 2000.
You're a liar. Like
I just love it.
He came up with bases loaded the other day, and I was like, please don't hit a grand slam as much as I want the team to win. I don't want to hear about another grand slam.
It was just like 2007. It's amazing. Anyway. All right. Well, all right, so we'll see how this weekend goes. Denton says 2 of 3. I say the big sweep. So we'll see what happens. And if we do sweep, that means we'll be pressing into Magic 500 land on Sunday. Is Sunday an ESPN game? I'm betting it is.
Oh, probably is.
Red Sox and Yankees on ESPN. Oh, God. All right, well, we turn the volume down. Is Remy dead, by the way? He's coming back, right? I worry about him.
He's very hard to find.
I worry about him. He's health problems and depression, and his kids are getting arrested left and right. I worry about the guy.
How can you be depressed? You're friggin' Jerry Remy.
I don't know. Well, you know what? It just goes to show you. Money can't buy happiness. And I guess it just can't. It's true. Which is why I'm glad I don't have any.
That's right.
Yep. All right. That's enough.
Enough about us.
That's enough, John Mayer.
How's that rash?
Going along quite nicely. All right. Anyways, well, we've wasted enough of your time here. I can't imagine anyone still listening besides my mother, but I thank you if you are. My name is Red. His name is Denton, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.